Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
All right, welcome back to a fresh new episode of Zero Block 30. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, and Cons is finally back from Italy. Cons, we miss you, pal. Welcome.
Bonjour.
I don't think you guys miss me. I heard you talking all sorts of mess about me and critiquing my vacation, saying it was what officers do. I heard all the shit talking that was going on behind my back.
That wasn't me, buddy. That wasn't
honestly
me.
Though, Cons, you have to admit, we're a lot nicer, even though we did talk a little shit. We are a lot nicer behind your back than we are to your face. So I'm sure that was a nice to take a little break.
It is actually a very, very nice reprieve.
I was rooting for you because I was hoping you'd bring me back some Mozart balls or a Toblerone bar or something from overseas.
You're just mixing up all sorts of countries now.
Yeah.
How was it though, Cons? What's the highlight? What's the low light?
Can I introduce the show, please?
I missed my friend.
Today we have six rounds in the magazine. Round number one is the Navy is deploying an aircraft carrier and bombers to the Middle East to deter Iran with the Unrelenting Force, which is not to be confused with my unrelenting diarrhea, which has been going on since Easter of 2007. Round number two, oh my God, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. No, wait, it's actually Agent Penis. A woman has been arrested after trespassing at CIA headquarters 3 days in a row, asking for a very veiny operative. Round number three, the Air Force is using fucking lasers to knock down missiles shot from aircraft carriers. Sci-fi movies are becoming real life during the testing phase at White Sands Missile Range. Round number four, we have an interview with Patrick Bet-David, who has had a crazy-ass life. Wait till you hear this. This dude grew up in Iran, became a refugee, joined the army, and now he's one of the biggest social media influencers in the world, multimillionaire, inspiring as hell. He's going to tell you a story about John McAfee, the crazy-ass dude behind McAfee Security Systems that'll literally make your dick explode while you drive down the radio. Round number five, a Marine who left active duty got honored at a baseball game, which is awesome. We support that. But the accomplishment that he chose to be listed on the Jumbotron left a little bit to be desired, and that is saying it lightly. Round number six, there are two acts of heroism by a sailor and an ROTC cadet that needs to be talked about this week. So we're going to do that. All of this is brought to you by our good friends at 1-800-Flowers. For a few weeks from now, we are reminding you that Mother's Day is just approaching, and right now it's just a few days away. So 1-800-Flowers is here to help you pick out the gorgeous bouquet that'll show her that she's loved. Right now, when you order a dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99, 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen, plus a vase that is absolutely free, and it's absolutely gorgeous. That's 40% off the original price. Now, I love flowers, folks. Everybody knows that. And Kate and Bren, you have been to my house. You know that I have two gorgeous, and I do mean gorgeous, rose bushes in front of my home. I know good roses. These are good roses. They come exactly whenever you're supposed to, so mama isn't angry, whether that mama is your wife, whether she's your girlfriend, whether I hope she's not your sister or your mom, whoever. You need to get her some flowers. The gorgeous bouquet of two dozen roses and a rainbow color is perfect surprise that she's guaranteed to love. Roses are the perfect way to surprise all the moms in your life. These breathtaking roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. A dozen multicolors for only $29.99 plus another dozen in a vase for free is an amazing offer, but you got to do it before Friday, folks. It's Tuesday's show. If you only listen to Friday's show, you're not even going to hear this. So fuck you if you don't listen. Trust 1-800-Flowers is going to get it there on time to your mama, and it's $29.99. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the promo code CHAPS. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code CHAPS. Reporting at night on Tuesday night, or Monday night. I'm excited that we are recording at night because things get a little off the rails usually whenever we record at nighttime. Cons, first of all. Kate, why don't you introduce your question to Cons? Because you've been very concerned about it.
I have been. And I just, because I've been watching all his social media, I've never been anywhere in Europe besides Ireland. And just watching him go through it, living his officer life with a little sweater tied around his neck, his bae looking like $1 million. I got to know. Give me a low light and then bring me back up with a highlight of your trip to Italiano. Meatball, okay. A spicy time.
I say meatball.
First, let me say.
I'm a stereotyping. Hey.
Mamma mia.
Oh,
I'm mamma mia, okay. You bastards.
Oh.
Bastard. I'm happy to be back. I was a little weird being off the show for two episodes because maybe little known fact, I am the only individual right here, right now, who has appeared on every single ZBT episode from ZBT1. So being away last week was a little bit difficult, a bit of a challenge for me to walk away.
Wait, I missed some?
Do you remember when you had that condition where you had to go to the hospital?
Oh, I had a heart attack?
Yeah, yeah, you had a heart attack?
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
but anyway, but I thank you to Max and to Congressman Kingsinger for filling in. They did such a great job with you guys. I thought the shows were still excellent despite my absence. But yes, to low light of my officer vacation was honestly, I can't really say anything negative about the trip. But when I got home yesterday and I got on the scale and I saw the number staring back at me and I saw the amount of weight that I had gained and I looked in the mirror.
How much was it?
It was a lot. Can I just say that? Chaps,
nope,
I'll say this. Chaps,
no.
I'll say it. I need,
this is accountability time.
All right.
How much weight did you gain, Connor?
Chaps, I gained so much weight that I need to go rummaging through your closet for size 36 pants.
Oh,
I
can, oh,
well, I don't need them anymore because I'm in a 30.
I know.
I don't need them anymore.
You got to send them to me for a couple weeks. No, I think I put on about 17 pounds.
Chaps is being ugly tonight. Week?
Yeah, dude.
Chap said you were going to come back titties popping.
I know. I said, no, that's not what I said, Kate. I said that he did have his titties popping. I saw pics.
No, there you was one pic.
You have your equivalent of the sweater pic.
Yeah. There was one where I looked at it and I said to my girlfriend, I said, Jesus, it looks like I need a bra. It was bad news. Because the thing is, like, we ate breakfast, lunch, dinner, obviously, but so often we'd be walking around. And I averaged 7 to 10 miles a day walking for all these different places. And also credit to my girlfriend who planned an amazing trip. We hit 6 major cities in 10 days. And just the movements in between all these cities was very efficient. So I have to give her so much credit. But we would be walking around these.
What a West Point guy.
We'd be walking around
the movements. These. When we were, she was directing fire and we were making fucking, we were going tertiary routes to Rome. It was unbelievable.
But so there's all these like cafes and restaurants and you sit down and you just have a glass of wine. You randomly walk around and say, hey, you want to get a glass of wine?
That's
and
why you gained weight. I know every Instagram story was you drinking red wine.
Yeah, dude.
That's why you gained weight.
And every time they have wine, they bring out a plate of meat and cheese or a plate of snacks. And I didn't go over there with the mindset like, oh, I got to watch my weight. No, I ate everything that was in front of me. So by far the low light was just the amount of weight I gained right before summer. Unfortunate, but that's something that hopefully we can rectify, but certainly the highlight.
You have a serious girlfriend who gives a shit.
I am way too vain to not give a shit. I feel gross.
That's probably
well, what was the highlight?
All right, so the highlight was actually pretty cool. So the highlight was the last destination we were in was Lake Como. And a lot of people will know that George Clooney has a home on Lake Como. And we went to the restaurant in our hotel. And the first thing I noticed when we walked into the restaurant, there's pictures of George Clooney with the owner on the wall, signed pictures. So apparently he goes to this restaurant somewhat frequently. So we're like, oh, that's cool. So the night's going on. We have dinner with my girlfriend and her parents. They go to bed. Everyone else in the restaurant has left, and we stayed and we continued to drink. Again, more wine, waking, you get it. And we continued to drink. And the owner comes over and he starts playing the piano. And he is playing just the most beautiful songs of all time. And I'm sitting there and I'll say it. We were sitting there holding hands, drinking wine, and it was a very, very nice moment.
Shit, I love it.
And he stops. He's about four or five songs in. And what, I mean, shout out to our previous guest, Emily Brandwin. She would love to hear this. He was playing some Gershwin songs, which really were hitting the spot for me. But he stopped about five songs in, and he turns to us and he says, "There was a one time when my friend Georgie," and he's referring to Clooney, he said, "my friend Georgie, he called, and he said, Giuseppe, my friend Julia is coming. Can you learn this song from one of her favorite movies?" And then he proceeds to play She from Notting Hill, because George was talking about Julia Roberts coming to visit with him and going to the restaurant. And the next day, Julia Roberts goes to the restaurant with George, and the owner plays She from Notting Hill. So then he proceeded to play She for us. And if you've never heard the song, it's actually it's a very beautiful song. And we decided on the spot that would be our song. So,
we'll also be glad to know, probably about the same time that you're doing that, that Kate and I on the Chaps and Kate show, the serious radio show that we have, we said that Julia Roberts is a top five person that we wouldn't want her mouth on an actual fleshlight. So,
So there you go. Okay, bringing that to my attention in
full circle,
ensuring that I didn't miss that, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, because we had a song before, but that one just seemed like in the moment, sitting there drinking wine, and we were the only ones in the restaurant. So the owner came out to play the piano just for us, and then Lake Como is right there because the restaurant is on the lake. So it was just a very beautiful setting and a very enjoyable time. So
overall, as they say in Italy, that's the spicy meatball. So good for you. What a treat.
That is what they say. All right, let's actually get started with our show today with round number one. Khan, since you've been gone, why don't you walk us through what's going on in the situation in Iran?
Certainly. Last night, even, Chap sent us a text message, and it was a press release from the Office of the Press Secretary, from National Security Advisor Ambassador John Bolton. And the press release read, "In response to a number of troubling and escalatory," great word right there, escalatory, "indications and warnings, the United States is deploying the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and Bomber Task Force to the U.S. Central Command region to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Iranian regime that any attack on United States interests or on those of our allies will be met with unrelenting force. The United States is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but we are fully prepared to respond to any attack, whether by proxy, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or regular Iranian forces."
All right, hold on. Let me stop you there, because I feel like I have made a mistake as the podcast host, like the one who sits at the table. This definitely should have been the Roosevelt voice. No doubt about it. Should we go back? "In response to a number of troubling and escalatory indications and warnings, the United States is deploying the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and Bomber Task Force, the U.S. Central Command region, to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Iranian regime that any attack on the United States interests or on those of our allies will be met with unrelenting force. The United States is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but we are fully prepared to respond to any attack, whether by proxy, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or regular Iranian forces."
Wow. Thank and that's a press release from the office of our press secretary. That's no joke. And I'm not an expert, but unrelenting force, I believe that's force that is not relenting, guys. It's unrelenting.
Point. And just a little more color. I mean, Bolton, who has spearheaded an increasingly hawkish U.S. policy on Iran, said the decision, which could exasperate problems between the two countries, was meant to send a clear and unmistakable message of the U.S. resolve to Iran. Though he cited no specific Iranian activities that have raised new concerns, Iran has recently warned it would block the Strait of Hormuz. I wonder if I'm saying that correctly. If it was barred from using the strategic waterway, about a fifth of all the oil consumed globally passes through that strait.
Here's what I think about this entire situation. Whenever you say that there is no specific incident that we can that we can highlight. If there was one, we would be able to find it. We have the best intelligence agencies in the world. We would be able to find it. What this is the beating of the war drums. And it's what I absolutely hate. We talked about it a little bit last week with Congressman Kinzinger, whenever dealing with the Venezuela situation, where he said that they would bring in a Marine Expeditionary Unit to outside of Venezuela to get things under control. We just love sending fucking carrier groups places. Yeah. And that's like our thing. Like, it's like, what are we doing? Some people are doing a little bit of what we don't like, even though we can't specifically say what it is. Let's just fucking throw a carrier group at it. That's what we do.
It's a pretty, not crazy, but it's a pretty over-the-top response to something that is not necessarily a warranted action to bring that sort of message, I guess you could say, to Iran. But what a crazy, badass thing to be able to do, to deploy a carrier group.
And you know what else? I hate the term. I hate the term hawkish, too.
Yeah.
Hawkish just means you really love war. Like, Lindsey Graham is a hawk. Like, he just fucking loves it. Like, they love sending people to war for little to no reason. That's what hawkish means, in my opinion.
I don't have necessarily a problem with people being hawkish, but what I do have a problem with is people being hawkish right now, considering we are still in Afghanistan. And gosh, it seems like we have to say it every episode, but we are still in Afghanistan. Maybe at this point we should be looking for other ways to resolve conflicts as opposed to, don't be a hawk right now.
But you know what?
Lovely little bluebird.
When a relationship gets old, it's like we've been with Afghanistan like 17 years now. Not as exciting anymore. And sometimes you bring in somebody else. You toss your keys in the bowl. You say, hey, Afghanistan, watch this, cuck. And then you get down with a different country. You say, how do you like them apples? Huh? Yeah. How do you like that? So, you know, who knows if we're going to be giving it or taking it or what. Could be a mess. I don't know.
But overall, Overall, we don't really know what's happening in Iran. No one does really. So, but as a military podcast, we thought that we'd mention it. Seems like a big deal when high-level people in government are bringing carrier groups to different places around the world. So we wanted to talk about that. We're not going to spend too long on it. Just don't fucking start another war, please.
Can I tell you my only other quick theory?
Sure.
Is that the person who is in charge of the press secretary in the White House is having a thing with whoever's in charge of the one in Tehran, and they're having a fight right now, but he blocked her. So she's like, oh, I'll get through to him.
There's
so
not many things I can guarantee, but I can guarantee you Sarah Huckabee Sanders is not having a relationship.
I didn't want to say her name, but that's my theory.
Iranian fucking press secretary.
Oh, man.
That's my theory.
It's a good theory. It's a good theory. Let's move on to round number two. Kate, this one is directly in your wheelhouse, so you take it from here.
Indeed, it is good, sir. Police have filed a criminal complaint against a woman after she allegedly trespassed on CIA headquarters four times since April, asking to speak with none other than the good Agent Penis.
Not to be confused with Scott Van Pelt. I don't want that rumor out there.
No. Or Officer Epididymis.
May I interject real quick?
Sure.
Chaps, with your new look, you have a very SVP look plus a beard going on right now.
I think the most hurtful comments that I got when I posted pictures on Instagram in my head was so many people said I look like the dude from Breaking Bad, and it was hurtful because that guy is way older than me. Way older than me. I'm not fucking 50. I'm 36.
And that's just lazy. That's the first person that comes to mind in like TV literature with the shiny head. That's just like, oh, you look like the guy with the glasses and shiny head.
Overall, before we really get going with Agent Penis, I love my hair. So for people that don't follow along on Twitter or Instagram and just listen to the show, I made an executive decision to shave my head. I'm starting back. I'm fully back in on Sunday haircuts. And I'm going guardless. No guard, straight to the dome. Kate, continue on with Agent Penis.
Sure. Well, I was going to say, in my mind, you're what an Agent Penis looks like.
Yeah, so that's very fair. But anyway, CIA agents can't have – well, I guess operators could have beards.
Yes, Agent Penis. Depending on where they're operating.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes an Agent Penis has a couple beards underneath talking balls. Sometimes not. I don't know.
Wow.
I made it weird. Anyway, long story short, 58-year-old Jennifer G. Hernandez several times kept going up to the agency, CIA headquarters, and then she did so 3 days in a row, the first 3 days in May. And her initial visit in April, she came back in a lift on May 1st saying she wanted to see her recruiter. Officers gave her a written warning and turned her away because she did not have a recruiter. On the 2nd of May, she came back in an Uber. Day one, Lyft. Day two, Uber. What does it mean? She wanted to speak to her recruiter again. And she was there because her phone was off. They told her to leave again. On the 3rd, she showed up in a bus. She's throwing us off.
I like that. It shows that she has talent, like varying up her travel, modes of travel. Very operational risk security.
I would hire her if I was them. Anyway, she showed up asking for her North Carolina ID card that day because they had accidentally kept it. They like held on to it the day before. So they kind of gave her a reason to come back. But she finally, this was the day she finally said, I've had enough. I would like to speak to Agent Penis. She wants to speak to Agent Penis. When her bus arrived again to take her away, she said, do you really think I'm going to leave? And that's when she finally got arrested. They gave her a Class B misdemeanor offense. I'd say it's more of a Class D.
Wow.
For dick.
Right.
Yeah. So the Lyft, the Uber, the bus, the stick-to-itiveness that she showed, I think she is perfect for Agent Penis. I think she should be in the CIA. And she's showing that her recruiter that she really has what it takes.
Honest to God, this should be a porn script where she shows up every day looking for Agent Penis. And finally, after there, she gets on the bus and every agent's just ready to dick her down.
Yeah. Who, real quick, who is going to play Agent Penis?
In a porn?
Yes.
Oh, long time stoolie Olin Gray.
Olin Gray, that's the boy. Look him up. He's great.
Now, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. What's the guy?
Johnny Sins.
Yes, thank you. Johnny Sins,
how the fuck did he say, what's his name, and snapped, and then you knew what he was talking about?
No, it was before I even finished, what's his
Johnny
name?
Johnny Sins' head looks way more like a penis. I mean, it's like a shaved head just like yours. Like
he was meant to be Agent Penis.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
But, I don't think I know who Johnny Sins is.
I think
you do. Buddy, I don't know where you've been the last. Oh, you've been married. That's what. Yeah, so right. Maybe. Also, you're probably not. You're probably not Googling dude porn names. You know.
That is true.
Like maybe some of us in the Zero Block 30 group do.
Maybe.
Looking at you. Other people. Does work.
We gotta find a place for this woman on the team somewhere with this sort of unrelenting attitude and the fact that she just has no quit in her. You can win with people like this. When people have no quit, I like it.
I like it too. So what if she's like 58? I gave you each agent names. Chaps, your agent bidet. Cons, your agent titties popping. Brent, your agent horn dog. I'm sorry. It was the only thing that could come to mind. I'm Agent Flaps with a Z. So if anybody needs it, we're around.
We're ready for the CIA.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round three. Wait, before we do, I just want to we had a story about Vietnam, and Kate was adamant that we included this story instead of what we were going to talk about. She was very passionate about Agent Penis. I'm glad that it made the pod. Let's move on to round three.
This episode has gone off the rails.
I warned him before.
Agent Taint, this is Agent Penis. We need to connect on something. Well, let's loop in Agent Peel. All right, we're okay. I'm done.
All right.
Because the taint connects to
right.
Peel.
Yeah.
Got it. We got it. No. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Here we go. You done, Kate?
I just wish Agent Penis was real.
sounds like Kate needs some Agent Penis in her life.
What if they're going through their files and they arrest this woman? They're like, oh my God, we do have an Agent Penis. How silly of us. We were giving her a hard time.
A hard time.
Oh God.
Oh. Boy, am I purple in the head.
I think that's the best dick joke I've ever heard.
All right, lock it up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
At ease.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Round number three, we're going to talk a little laser beams. The U.S. Air Force just edged closer to its goal of outfitting aircraft with fucking laser weapons. Testers at White Sands Missile Range have successfully shot down multiple air-launched missiles using the Self-Protect High-Energy Laser Demonstrator, which is also known as SHIELD, provided that it could hold up under these intense situations. While SHIELD is currently a ground-based behemoth, the finished technology should be portable and rugged enough to be used aboard aircraft. You won't say the technology used in the air for a while, though. The Air Force only gave Lockheed Martin a contract in 2017, and the first airborne tests aren't expected until sometime until 2021. It would likely take a while after that before the system could find its way into the service. Provided the technology works as promised, though, it could have a dramatic effect on combat aircraft. The laser would be it wouldn't be an offensive weapon at first. Rather, it would be used to shoot down missiles, both air-to-air and surface-to-air. As long as nothing interfered with the laser, an aircraft could be virtually impervious to missile attacks and effectively control the skies. I think an underrated element of this story, which came from military.com, underrated element of this is that if you had lasers shooting down shit, that is such a mind fuck to the enemy. If they're shooting lasers and you're just like, nope, here's a laser, bitch, and shooting it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that would have happened in Desert Storm, Saddam would have been dead way faster. If we were taking Scud missiles out of the skies instead of with Patriot missiles, we were doing it with fucking lasers. I mean, the Iraqi Revolutionary Guard would have been like, holy shit.
Are you just saying because lasers, obviously, it can't be seen, and it just all of a sudden that it would be taken out of the sky?
Well, I think they can be seen. Like the mock-ups that I saw, they were like they had the green or red. Maybe they're just doing that for dramatic effect.
I mean, I don't specialize in lasers here, but I think that's maybe when it is on the target, but through the air, I don't think you can actually see the full laser. It's not like in the movie.
If you're making a laser beam that I can't see, I'm not interested. If it doesn't look like a Star Wars sword,
yes,
I'm not interested.
Nope.
You know what I mean? So also another cool thing about this, I feel like you're shooting, because before you were essentially like shooting a missile at a missile to knock a missile down.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive. If you miss, there could be collateral damage. Here you're like, oh, we missed, and just redo that sucker again. Like, how expensive is it to fire laser beams, you know? But it sounds like maybe a little bit right now till they get it right. I also like how they're like, awesome, this laser thing's testing it. Now, the one we have right now is massive and unmovable, but
I wonder what, like, the final suppressive fire on a laser gun looks like. Like, how many, what's the cyclic rate of fire of laser rounds?
I would think it'd be more like what Kate's saying. Like, you could just keep shooting it until you don't want to shoot it anymore.
Right? Like, you would think it's got to heat up.
You're right.
Maybe the technology is such that no matter how hot it gets, the apparatus that holds it is cooling at the same time, so it never overheats.
Imagine going to medical and there's some dude with like a or lady, sorry Kate, and there's some lady with a burnt ass hand. Like, what happened? Like, the muzzle on my goddamn laser was too fucking hot, and I tried to change it out.
I feel like that's the main reason our American laser beams have to be colored like a Star Wars sword.
Yeah, because
everybody would be chopping everybody's hands off. If we had laser beams,
because there'd have to be like the lasers that go through Hummers, like that go through tanks. Like, get me the purple laser, give me the red laser. There is no chance that the U.S. military doesn't color code these. Zero. Yeah,
they have to. Yeah. I mean, you're right, Chaps. Just like we have different types of artillery that serve different purposes, we definitely need different lasers. That would go a long way.
That would be incredible. I hope they do lasers. Any other sci-fi weapons that you guys would like to see the military take?
Yeah, we got to be able to transport or teleport rather at some point, right?
So that being said, my daughter, when we were on our way somewhere the other day, asked me a great question. It's a very trite question. I changed my answer. She said, if you could have the powers of any superhero or any fictional character, this is a 6-year-old to ask it, any superhero fictional character in the world, who would it be? Okay,
what was your answer?
My answer was Dumbledore.
Why? You're going to have to help me out. I have no idea what he does.
Well, because you can basically do anything. Like if you're the best wizard in the world, you know how to create spells for essentially everything. You want to be fast. You want to apparate. You want to fucking fly. You want to do any of that stuff. You could do it.
Yeah, but the world's still messed up in Muggle world and everywhere else.
Well, there's no superhero world where things are fucking peachy and cream except for Rainbow Bright after she gets rid of Gloomtown.
True. Well, guess what? Mine's Rainbow Bright's power.
You are kind of like Rainbow Bright, honestly. Like, I could see you being happy as a clam on a white horse with a rainbow tail just riding over a rainbow. Like, that's
she has that rainbow. She's got that rainbow skirt. That's right. That's straight out of Kate's closet.
Yeah.
On my way to see Ancient Penis.
Sees Ancient Penis, comes out as Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
Got rid of Gloomtown. All right, let's move on to the interview, which is brought to you by our good friends at Roman Swipes. This one should have been the fucking penis story.
Agent honestly. Penis.
Yeah. Agent Penis with his
Agent Penis wipes. Definitely uses Roman wipes.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Imagine,
if you will, let me set the scene for a moment. Imagine, if you will, you are getting ready to be interrogated by Agent Penis. And he says, I know you did it. You did it. I know you did, and you will never convince me otherwise. I'll be right back. He hands you a cup of coffee that has the blue letters on it like it does at an SVU. He comes back in a few minutes later, and you notice he has a rock-hard boner. And you said, Agent Penis, how did you get a boner so quickly? And he says, because, my friend, I have Roman Swipes. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective and easy to use, fast-acting, doctor-recommended, but don't require a prescription. Roman Swipes can be shipped to you discreetly, unmarked packaging, and easy swipes are the packet is small enough to hide in your wallet or your purse. Shout out to the ladies that keep them in their purse. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of your pocket, apply it. Folks, that means wipe it on your dick, let it dry, and you're good to go. Keep Roman Swipes in your back pocket for longer, better sex, and get yours fast. For free 2-day shipping, visit GetRoman.com/zero. That's GetRoman.com/zero. Here's our interview with Patrick Bet-David. All right, now on Zero Block 30, we have Patrick Bet-David. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's good to be on with you.
So your story is very interesting. Can you give us a little bit of background on yourself for people who might not follow? They might not be one of the million people who follow you on YouTube.
Yeah, sure. I was born and raised in Iran, lived there for 10 years. And 6 weeks after Khomeini died, he died on June 3rd, 89. 6 weeks later, we escaped. We went to Germany. I lived at a refugee camp there for about a year and a half, then came to the States, lived in Glendale, California. After high school, joined the Army. I got out of the Army. And my aspirations when I got out of the Army was to go into bodybuilding, be Mr. Olympia, follow kind of like the Middle Eastern Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, going to Hollywood, marry a Kennedy, and then one day run for office, governor. And it kind of didn't work out that way. I met a girl named Jean-Vierre at Venice Beach who worked at Morgan Stanley Dean Witter, and she was a stockbroker she was an advisor to a lot of the Laker players. And every day we'd go out, every time we'd go out, she'd pick me up in a different car. I said, what do you do to make this kind of money? She said, I'm an advisor. I said, how can I work at Morgan Stanley Dean Witter? She said, well, I went to UCLA. You need a degree. They won't hire you without one. I said, I got to figure something out here. So I went and made a resume. My resume wasn't the most impressive because it was Haagen-Dazs. It was Bob's Big Boy, Burger King, Army, and Bally's. That's all I had. And so I took that resume, and then in the cover letter, I added one of my best jokes. And on the bottom of the joke, I said, if you are laughing after reading this joke, this is exactly how my clients are going to feel when they do business with me. They're going to love me. If you want somebody to like this part of your team, give me a call. So I faxed this because back then in the 2001 era, we were still faxing. So I faxed this to 100 different branches, Morgan, Merrill, Schwab, Goldman, I mean, everybody, Smith, Barney, TD Waterhouse. I sent it to everybody. I got 30 callbacks. Wow. 15 of them laughed at the joke. I got 15 interview offers. I got 3 job offers. I started on Morgan Stanley Dean Witter Glendale a day before 9/11.
Wow.
Got my Series 760, 631, and then went to Transamerica for 7.5 years. And in October of 2009, I started my own insurance agency with 66 agents. And we just licensed our 10,000th agent 2 weeks ago. And now we're in 49 states. De La Hoya is one of my investors, and a bunch of other people are investors. And on the side, I started a YouTube channel, purely accidental, and that grew from 0 to 1,000,002 subs and 1 billion minutes watched.
Unbelievable. Wow. I want to go back to some of the beginning of the story, because this is a military podcast after all. I want to talk to you about how much you remember from being in a refugee camp and how that shaped you as a person.
You know, it's crazy you say this, because when I was at the refugee camp, I was staying at a camp in Erlangen, which Erlangen is, you know, 20 minutes outside of Nuremberg. Nuremberg is a very well-known city. You go, there's nice museums and, you know, a lot of GI, lots of military people go there. And the refugee camp I stayed at, I would always go with these Czechoslovakian kids and this Yugoslavian kids. And we go in the mountains, and there was all this dirt. And one day we went a little bit too far, because there was all these signs that would say, don't cross this fence. What do you do when you're 10 years old? You jump the fence. So we kept going. And then suddenly we saw, wait a minute, what the hell are these tanks doing here? And why are there so many men in uniform? It was an army base. And they were blowing stuff up. I'm like, get out of here. There's a military base here. We would sit there and we would watch them blow stuff up. Or when they were doing the range, probably not the safest thing to do. I still didn't tell my mom till today that we used to do that. But that was my first probably glimpse of what U.S. soldiers did.
Wow. And then you go on and you were in the 101st Airborne. Is that correct? How long were you in, and what was your job there?
I was there for 2.5 years. I was a 63 Bravo Hummer mechanic. Probably one of the best decisions I ever made was joining the Army. Hands down. There's, you know, nowadays you got so many people that are wondering what to do after school. To me, you'll hear the saying that, you know, we're having a hard time turning boys to men. People are softer today, more sensitive today. Work ethic is not the same. You hear a lot of this stuff. And I think there's a saying that goes where it says, tough times produce strong leaders. Strong leaders produce good times. Good times produce weak leaders. Weak leaders produce tough times. And that cycle keeps going. So once again, tough times produce strong leaders. Strong leaders produce good times. Good times produce weak leaders. Weak leaders produce tough times. If you look at that cycle and you add a generation to it, okay, let's just add a generation to it. If we add the silent generation to it, which is the one before baby boomers, you know, they probably had the toughest, hands down. I mean, these guys went through, you know, the depression. They went through World War II. Just not an interesting time to be living in. These were rough times. Like, you had to be tough during those times.
Right.
They produced boomers. Then boomers were pretty strong at what they were doing. They partied very hard. I mean, hands down, if you go look at the drugabuse.com to study which generation used the most drugs, no generation is close to boomers. The next time a boomer tells you they went to church 8 days a week, replace church with another word, because they definitely didn't go to church 8 days a week. Those guys were partying very hard. Boomers is what they were doing. And then boomers produced Gen X's, which was the good times. And Gen X's just kind of got a little bit too spoiled and too soft with everybody. And now you're seeing some leaders coming up that are maybe a little bit more softer than before, more sensitive before, which means maybe tough times may be around the corner for the next generation. What's the moral of the story? I think military ought to be an option more today than it's ever been for 17, 18-year-old young boys that are coming out. Go get a little bit of boot camp under your belt. Go learn a little bit about independence. Go learn what it is to wash your own clothes, you know, to iron your clothes, to iron your shoes, to be called out a little bit, to have somebody scream at you a little bit, see how you handle a little bit of that toughness, get in shape, exercise, move around, learn about camaraderie, learn about teamwork, then come out in the real world and then decide, maybe I'm going to go to college, or maybe I'm just going to take this military thing and go start a business or do something for myself. But I think I'm ready for the real world. I think military ought to be a bigger option today than ever before.
And you used a lot of the military lessons that you use in a book too, where you have 19 lessons that made you a millionaire. Before we started talking, Kate and I were wondering, where do you start out where you're comfortable telling people how much money you make? Because sometimes I'm doing decently well for myself now. I want to tell people how much, but I don't think like I can to a millionaire. Do you think it's okay to be like, I've got $60,000 in the bank or something like that?
You know, it's crazy you say that. That is I come from the family where it's always never tell people how much money you have, because they'll always come to you for a loan. You know how it is when you all of a sudden start making money, next thing you know, everybody comes to you for money. So I sat there and I said, okay, that's a good way. So I started making money. You got to kind of stay quiet. But then I'm like, wait a minute. You know, you are living in America, and here's how America works. It's very simple. Those that are broke will claim they're doing very well, and everybody thinks they're doing very well. And those that have money stay quiet, so no one really knows who actually has the money, what is really taking place here. So you take that and then you process it in a complete different way. For me, is realizing there's an element of those who make it to the next level. Take whoever you want, whether you like them or not. There is an element of where they eventually learn how to self-promote themselves. You got to get to that point where you're comfortable self-promoting yourself. Now, let me talk about the money side. That's a little bit tough for some people. Here's what I mean by the money side. So you got to create some values and principles that when money comes, it doesn't create conflicts. For example, whenever family calls me and they want a loan from me, hey, Pat, you know, if you could give me $100,000, I promise you I'll pay you back. You know, if you can give me $1,000, I promise you I'll pay you back. So I created a system and standard with my family and friends immediately. Here's how it was. You call me, you say, Pat, I'm really going through tough times, man. I kind of need to borrow $5,000 from you. I would say, okay, John, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. Then I'd call you tomorrow. I'd say, John, listen, I can't lend you $5,000, but I'll give you $250. You never have to worry about paying it back to me. It's confusing for the other person. They're like, okay, but I will pay back. No, I don't want it to hurt our relationship. You're my cousin. I love you. We have a friendship, but I'm not going to lend you $5,000 because I don't want to be a banker chasing you every time we go to a gathering, birthday party, all this other stuff. But I give you this $250. Don't ever worry about having to give it back to me. Here's the $250. Where are you going to, you know, Venmo the money or, you know, PayPal the money for you? They're so confused, but they're not offended. So I learned very quickly how to handle money because people are going to come to you when you have money. But also, if people don't know you don't have money, you also miss out on a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of opportunities I get because people kind of have an idea that this guy's been making money. Let me contact them about this. What about that part? What about this part? One time, I never forget.
Before
I
bought you this continue, Pat, can I ask you a question? Can I borrow $5,000? I promise you, I'll pay you back.
The best thing about this part here is you're a stranger, so you don't even qualify for me to give you money.
No!
But the point is, here's the point. You know, my family, my wife, my wife and my kids, and my peers, everybody I do business with, the way I got married is a very weird way I got married. I took my wife on our second date. I bought her a book called 101 Questions to Ask Before You Get Engaged. And this was on our second date. She thought I was crazy. And I bought it from Borders back in the days when there was a Borders before they went out of business. And so we read the book together. I said, listen, I've done this exercise with other girls. I'm not at a phase of my life that I'm trying to hook up. I'm past that phase. I'm trying to see if I want to test this marriage thing or not. But I know exactly what I want and I know exactly what I don't want. I have three non-negotiables that I'm not willing to compromise. And I think it's best you answer these questions and let's get together and see if this is a fit. Week later, we sat down for 6 hours. We went through every question together. And then I said, you know what? This could actually work. Year and a half later, we got married. We've now been married for 9.5 years. Maybe we'll hit 10 years in the next 2 months. But I think the more you manage expectations up front, people will respect it even more and say, damn, this guy's serious. Most people don't manage expectations. So if you got money and you're worried about it, just get in the habit of managing expectations with everybody up front. Talk about the big elephant in the room before somebody else brings it up.
There you go. And speaking of big things in the room, you have interviewed people like Magic Johnson, Steve Aoki, Tony Hawk, Kevin Hart on your YouTube channel. Where can people find stuff like that? Like, where can people look you up and learn more of these things that you're telling us? And who, if you had to pick a favorite guest, who would it be and why?
Well, I mean, first of all, you can go on YouTube and just type in the word entrepreneur. We run the number one channel on YouTube for entrepreneurs. But if you type in my name, Patrick Bay David, it'll come up all over the place.
Awesome.
So who was the most interesting? I would say memorable would be John McAfee, the founder of McAfee Antivirus. Because
oh, yeah.
when we went in, I don't know if you've watched his documentary or not. I highly don't recommend it, but that's probably going to make you going to go watch it because you're going to say, I cannot believe this documentary made it on Netflix. It is that crazy if you've never watched
it. That guy's a loon.
He's I follow crazy. Him on social media, and it's like reading a Jack Kerouac novel. You're like, holy crap.
It's like, you did what with a hammock and somebody shitting in your mouth? Why would you do that?
I mean, think about that, right? I mean, that's some stuff where he's like, okay, I got it. I understand porn and all this other stuff. This guy takes it to a whole different level.
Yeah.
But, you know, we go to his house, and I'm parked outside finishing up a conference call, and my camera guys say, Pat, you kind of got to come in because we just got frisked, and they're not comfortable with you sitting out there. I said, who frisked you? He said, well, just come inside. I was in Nashville doing business with Arthur Laffer. I don't know if you know Arthur Laffer, the Laffer Curve. So anyways, we go inside. There's five ex-Navy SEAL guys with semi-automatic weapons, you know, looking at us like, what the hell are you guys? You know, who are you guys? What's your background? Why is there a Middle Eastern guy? Myself, I'm from Iran. Why the hell is he here? And then I started talking to these guys. I said, what's your MOS? What's this? What's that? I realized they're all Army, Navy guys. We hit it off. Then they come in and they say, hey, man, if you want, I got three prostitutes upstairs. You want to go out there and you real quick before the interview to relax you? I'm like, you know, I appreciate the offer, man. Very nice of you, but I'll pass. Well, why don't we have a nice whiskey to get us? And I'll have the whiskey, but I'll skip on the prostitutes. Yeah. And then when we did the interview, if you ever watch the interview, in the middle of the interview, somebody knocks on the door. When they knock on the door, guy jumps at the door with a 9mm. Okay. In the middle of the interview, you can actually see it in the middle of the interview. So that was and the entire time I'm interviewing McAfee, he has a gun sitting right next to him. So that was a pretty interesting interview. But, you know, the stories go with Michael Francis, former mobster, Donnie Brasco, which is the real-life Donnie Brasco.
Oh, wow.
Joe Pistone. He was a very interesting character. I asked him some of the tough questions where it was like, hey, you know, you seem like you didn't want to leave that mob world. It was almost like you were becoming one. Were you more intrigued by being an FBI agent or being a mobster? You got to hear the answer, what he says. But, you know, a lot of these guys are so what different. They're wiring their thinking.
Well done.
Yeah, so, you know, again, the more interesting the character, the more I'm intrigued by their story to ask the questions to see if we get some answers that everybody wants to hear.
There we go.
Well, that's fantastic. And I mean, from being a young immigrant from Iran and in Germany and then to the U.S., then 101st Airborne, now you have one of the fastest growing companies in the financial marketplace. You have over 1 million subscribers following all your amazing interviews. And it's just so cool. There's something about, you know, Chaps and I are veterans too. And when you see a veteran just super succeeding, it's such an awesome feeling. So very grateful to have you on the show today. Thank you so much. Guys, this next story comes to us from Guaranteed Rate Field, where we're not guaranteed to feel great when we see what happened to this Marine who was on the Jumbotron. They did a thing where they brought some soldiers, Marines, everything down to honor them on the field, as they do, and they shows them up close on the Jumbotron with the flag behind them to wave. So they brought down Corporal Mark Anderer from the U.S. Marine Corps, and next to him, in huge letters, it could have said anything. Infantry, Iraq veteran, this, that. Here's what it said. Corporal Mark Anderer completed a variety of educational steps in the Marines in huge letters.
Like that's listed as the main accomplishment, like for
the only career. One it says.
I really hope we're not getting trolled and this is someone just did a really good Photoshop, or it's possible that this is just a snippet in a bunch of awards and accomplishments that were scrolling during his time on the field, and they just got the snapshot of this.
Oh, I hope that this is his main thing. Because Kate, whenever you hear educational steps in the Marine, what flashes through your mind?
Just all those online classes we had to take.
Like terrorism awareness, fucking informational security.
Wait. What is terrorism awareness?
Where you just have to
make sure you're aware.
Yeah, it teaches you. Oh, buddy, that's one of the fucking main ones that we do. Before you go on leave, you have to take a class that identifies the steps that where terrorism could take place. You have to announce where you're going to be on leave to your command. You have to let them know. They remind you that if you're going to go to the same place 2 days in a row, that you take different routes, which shout out to Agent Penis Lady. She did that. That's why I mentioned
an
that.
Uber, a bus, a lift?
Yeah, she was on top of it. She would pass. She would get a check off for her ORM from her NCO for sure. But there's just a litany of, like, tobacco cessation is another one. Like, there's just suicide awareness is another one. There's just over and over again these same dumbass classes that you have just to take every year.
Annual PowerPoint training, basically. Right. Annual. Right. And I just love, he's wearing his White Sox hat. The American flag is behind him. He's taking up the whole Jumbotron. He's got his vet beard. He's wearing his jacket with a little eagle, globe, and anchor on it. And it's U.S. Marine Corps. Corporal Ander completed a variety of educational looks, in the Marines. What?
It looks like the same type of display that would be on display for, like, Kyle Carpenter whenever he goes.
Right.
But it's for educational steps. So we took to Twitter, and first of all, let me give a shout out to our new Twitter guy, Kyle. Kyle is doing a fantastic job. If you haven't been involved on Twitter, get involved on ZeroBlock30's Twitter account. He's doing a great job. One of my favorite sneaky things about Kyle is that he's a softball coach. So
I was just going to say.
For 2 weeks in a row now, whenever we've getting ready to record or do something, he goes and coaches softball, and he texts the ZBT group chat. He's like, coaching softball, the ZBT Twitter is unmanned. And just he gives a status report. He's not willing to take that fucking lashing if something goes wrong on Twitter while he's gone. The post is unmanned. Shout out
Kyle, not a fan of obviously not a fan of General Order number one, just abandoning his post.
No.
But he has absolutely been crushing it. So he took to Twitter today. He posted that photo of this corporal on this veteran on the Jumbotron. And he asked, what if you were up on the Jumbotron, what's the least impressive thing about your service that would be the one thing they posted about you? Mine, I said, it would be me up there and it would just say, Corporal Kate Mannion, good conduct medal. Like, neat. Everybody, pretty much everyone gets that. Cons, what did yours say?
I put back-to-back Fort Hood flag football champion.
And I've got a fucking bone to pick about this one. This one is just because you wanted to mention that. Like, Con, when you wrote that, you knew that was pathetic. Like, you wanted to say it was pathetic, but you also wanted to mention that you won 2 years in a row at Fort Hood. You wanted to say that. You wanted it out there.
Like, you were still flexing when you wrote that.
Yeah, this was still a brag. You're like, oh, no, my least impressive thing? Oh, these old things? 1, 2, throw at Fort Hood. Fuck out of here, Con.
All right, chaps, what's yours then?
Mine? I don't have anything. Everything that I did in uniform was stellar. That's why I was a meritorious staff sergeant.
There you go. Well, we got a lot of great answers. At DS Barton _ said, tan belt. So I can see Corporal Barton, tan belt, up on the Jumbotron. I love that.
Dude, if that happened, I would run out onto the diamond and give somebody a hug. If I saw tan belt McMap, for those listening at home that are civilians, tan belt is like the entry level of Marine Corps martial arts. Like, if you can breathe, you can be a tan belt. Like, you graduate boot camp a tan belt.
Not impressive. You cannot
be anything lower than a tan belt.
I like Ryan Crum at rcrum12b said, once ate a pack of MRE crackers with no water in under a minute. That's actually impressive.
I mean, that is actually impressive. He shouldn't have been putting that because MRE crackers are not to be messed with.
Kyle, this is why I like Kyle, because he called him out on his bullshit. He called this guy an integrity violator, and I'm going to back Kyle up on that. Like, there's no chance you're eating the MRE cracker, a whole pack in less than a minute. Not happening. Integrity violator.
I like this one. At Ocho Fisho said, went 25 for 25 on clean piss test. I would love to see that on a Jumbotron. Never popped on a piss test.
That is a good one.
Yeah. I liked from the one CRL from at Lindowitz. CO said thanks one time when I showed him where the power button on the printer was.
Yeah, it's the little things. This one made me laugh out loud for some reason because it's just so random. At Matt B. said, barely made it to the toilet after losing a pick leading contest. I would just love to see that on a Jumbotron.
There, but the grace of God go I. Like, no doubt. I mean, the pickle shits are violent. Like, indeed. That's a violent shit.
So definitely those are some I'd love to see. We got so many great answers. And again, follow us at ZeroBlock30 on Twitter. We do interactive stuff like that all the time, and we love reading your responses and everything. Yeah. So Thanks, everybody.
Credit to everybody who follows and responds to these, because I mean, we only pulled out a few, but there's just so many that make me laugh out loud. They're just the veteran community, by and large, is a very cynical, satirical, comical community, and it really is very funny to read this stuff.
No doubt about it. And they also, we also support people whenever they do heroic actions, which is going to lead us to round number six. All right, round number six. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention it. There was an ROTC cadet this week who sacrificed his life to stop the UNC Charlotte gunman, and he will be buried this week with military honors. A lot of people actually reached out to I know I got it. I think I saw you get some mentions about it too. I'm not sure about you, Cons, but people asking if we thought that it was appropriate to get military honors for an ROTC cadet. I think in this type of situation, yes. If that makes his family feel good, if that makes them gives them any sense of ease, then I automatically support it. It's not something that I hold like, oh no, you actually have to serve and be gone and things like that. I think that this is totally fine and appropriate.
But also, when you are an ROTC cadet, there is an ethos by which you live by. So he really was living that to the fullest by acting the way that he did so heroically.
Mm-hmm. So the story, that for those that haven't heard, 21-year-old Riley Howe was one of two students who was killed on Tuesday when a shooter opened fire with his handgun inside a classroom full of nearly 50 students. Four other students were injured. The gunman, who authorities identified as former UNCC student.
Fuck him. Don't even say his fucking name. His name doesn't – he's a fucking –
The North Carolina National Guard will conduct the military funeral honors for the cadet, which we said was great. And then I don't even like giving a whole lot of attention to what happens with mass shooters. I'm just so fucking over it. Obviously, what this guy did and try to help people is the brave thing. It's the heroic thing. But I'm tired, and Kate and I talked about it a little bit today. I'm tired of people having to put themselves in position to be the hero. Like, we've got to move past this point, figure it out, like a way to where people aren't required to be heroes.
Right. It's just so sad. I think they lost. Clearly, this man would have been an incredible leader, that he, you know, he was willing to do this and save so many people. And yeah, I'm just sick of reading it. I mean, we had a story last week. The Iraq veteran who stopped the shooter in the synagogue. And one of the things he said that stood out to me after Iraq and everything, I never thought I would hear gunfire this way again. And nobody should have to. No veteran should have to. And here we are, ROTC students and veterans at schools facing it all over again. And it breaks my heart.
And not just that one, but Seaman David Miller found himself in a precocious situation too. There was a woman with a child and brandishing a handgun at the front of the church. He said, "I was praying to God that I would keep a level head while this was happening." Miller recalled the pastor ushered people out of the church. Miller and a few others stayed trying to soothe the situation. It wasn't working. And he said, "He saw an opening and I tackled her along with one other man," Miller said. Another man standing by grabbed the child. For his service that day, Miller was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medal on April 26th. "It is rare that I have the opportunity to award such an act of heroism like this," said Rear Admiral Cedric Pringle, commander of the Expeditionary Strike Group 3, at a ceremony happening only hours after a recent attack in Sri Lanka. "The world took notice of this event and Seaman Miller's bravery. His act of faith, in spite of fear, has made a global impact and is a shining example of the Navy's commitment to protect and defend." Again, good on this young seaman who did exactly what he was supposed to do. It shows that bravery comes in all situations and that there's always going to be people. We mentioned it last week, but I always am reminded now, and I'm tired of being reminded of what Mr. Rogers said, that look for the helpers. There's always helpers, but we got to stop making the helpers have so many situations in which they are willing to help. Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
All right. After conferring with my colleagues earlier, I've decided to scrap one of my save rounds, as Chaps has brought it to my attention that, quote, no one gives a shit. So, but I will say,
listen, you might have a point. Now I need to clarify what it's about. I like the tactics there, Cons, to get me to admit that it was about Army lax. Look, I love Army Lax as much as the next Smurf. I am
big
fucking
fan of Johnny Serdak.
A big, big fan of what's going on at West Point with Lax. But I feel like you missed a week. The 2 weeks before then, we had some Lax. Like, is that really what we need to talk about again? Yes, they won the Patriot League. I'll say it. West Point visited the White House today.
Because so here's what I want to say about that. That was my other save round. And okay. What I wanted to say was during President Trump's speech, while he was presenting Army with the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy for the second year in a row,
If you say that he mentioned you winning back-to-back Fort Hood flag football championships, I'm going to cancel.
Took the words right out of my mouth, buddy. No, what President Trump said was he is looking into issuing a waiver for military academy athletes to go pro in their respective sports right away. We've talked about this on the show before, and they've gone back and forth. And honestly, when people ask me, I almost don't even remember what the rules are now. I would love it if there was just a waiver once and for all. Let these kids go be athletes if they're going to be athletes, and that's the end of it. Because the constant back and forth is really annoying and troubling.
That whole situation makes me laugh that he said he's going to issue the waiver because it was under his administration that the waiver ended.
I know. That's what's ridiculous.
Just so typical of politics in general. Like, you know what? We did this thing. We're going to reverse course, and all you motherfuckers are going to be glad about it. Kate, what about you?
I just wanted to give a friendly reminder that it's coming up. We are now in the month of May, and the weekend of the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, Memorial Day weekend, the whole Zero Blog 30 gang, including our new social media guy, we're all going to be down in Charlotte for the NASCAR race. If you're in the area, get tickets, come say hi to us. We'll be around, but just really looking forward to that as it approaches.
Watching your content from Talladega got me re-fired up. I was fired up when we came back from Daytona. Then I hit a little bit of a lull, admittedly. But then seeing your content got me fired back up. I'm excited to go to Charlotte.
Guns back up. We had a lull in the action. Time to get the guns back up.
Yeah, we're bringing the guns back up. The worst was the quick Talladega snapshot of me doing I did a shot of Fireball out of a large man's belly button. And they surrounded his belly button with whipped cream. And when I came up, I got in the camera, and my face, it's just like the ugliest picture ever of me, and my face is covered in
worse whipped cream. Worse than the roller coaster on Coney Island?
It's worse than the Coney Island roller coaster picture. And now dudes are zooming in on it, and they're tweeting it at me, and they're going, gross. And I'm like, thanks. So, but you know what? Once it's out, once the Band-Aid's ripped off of your worst moment, you're like, bring on Charlotte. Let's fucking go. So,
yeah, I think that's part of the beauty of working at Barstool too, is like now whenever I do family pictures, my wife is like, is this picture good? Like if we do selfies, I'm like, yeah, dude, like what if I don't give a fuck, like whatever, post it if you want to.
Can I say too, while we're on the subject, my promise to you in Charlotte, if you're a veteran, and we'll put up more information about where we're going to be once it's all more clear. If you're a veteran and you come over to where I'm at, I'll have a thing of Fireball or whatever on me. I'll do a shot out of your belly button, man, woman.
Oh, my God.
This is
Chaps,
Memorial Day. Chaps. I will suck liquor right out of your
Chaps. Do you hear what a bad idea this is?
I reserve right to veto this. This is just.
I'm pulling rank. We're not.
That is absolutely atrocious idea, Corporal Kate. My God.
Agent Dick, if you're out there, Agent Penis, if you're out there, meet me at Tent C3 Memorial Day weekend.
We have lost control of the podcast completely.
Jesus. Next thing you know, we're in the freaking jail cell. Who are you here to see? Kate Manning. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, she was caught on the highway running around naked.
Too many. All right, I was just kidding.
For Agent Dick.
Bryn, I know you have a save around this week too. What do you got, pal?
Yeah, so I was at a friend of a friend's party. It was my friend's party, but I was mingling with his coworkers, and one of them was an Air Force veteran, and I asked him, I was trying to, you know, flex my military knowledge, and I asked him what his MOS was, and the Air Force doesn't have MOS. They have specialty codes. So he was like, oh, MOS, we don't have those. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, see, that guy was fucking – you should – you know what, Brent?
I made him sound like probably a little bit more dickish than that, but he kind of was like, we don't have MOS.
Brent, after listening to this podcast and being part of this podcast for 2 years, what should your response have been?
fucking nerd.
No, dude. You almost nailed it. You almost nailed it. You fucking boot. You know exactly what I mean. You should have just called him a boot right there. That's such a boot answer. He knows exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Speaking of, Bren's moving up in the experience rank of military life. Buddy, tell him what you did.
Oh, I got a moto tattoo.
Oh, love an anchor. Love it.
Oh, yeah. Big devil dog right on his chest.
What'd you get, Bren?
I just got a 3/4 sleeve on my arm.
3/4 sleeve, no big deal, whatever.
It's not a big deal, so whatever. You know,
it's actually like really beautiful.
4.5 hours in the tattoo parlor the other day. Well, on the chair, at least. I was there for like 8 hours.
Well, with Mother's Day weekend coming up, he asked all the women in his life, his mom, his grandma, and he asked what their favorite flowers were, and he got their favorite flowers on his arm, and it's beautiful. They look real. So, pretty cool.
Thanks, kid.
Yeah.
I respect women, and I love my mom.
There we go.
That's fantastic.
Lame.
Also, I want to mention there was a report that came out this week that the sexual assault on women in the military has gone up 40% over the last year.
What?
We have got to be better fellas. I think that there has got to be greater, stronger accountability amongst the ranks in the military, that you've got to be by your sister service members' side. You've got to be strong. If you see sexism in the military, you've got to start calling out, whether it's in action or whether it's in word or deed or even mindset. We've got to be better than that. Zero Block 30 is not for that shit. We're for treating everybody equally across the board, whether race, sexual orientation, creed, religion, gender, whatever. We are about equality. And if you're not, fuck you. Stop listening. Sound the retreat.